Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, sorry I'm a little late today. Thank you for waiting for me. I appreciate it if you'd give me a few moments of your time, not because I'm anybody special, but because today I'm going to open up before you the Word of God and preach the truth in the Word of God. Just yesterday, I was opening up a news story from my hometown, way up in the frozen north of Canada, and I come up with this news story that yesterday, in the town that the big city next where I've come from, that a man doused himself in gasoline and set himself on fire in front of the main government building. This man was distraught. He was really upset that he was about to be deported from the country back to the country of his birth. And when we hear somebody doing something so drastic, it's quite shocking to us. It's quite shocking that somebody would go to such a terrible measure. But you know, there's something that's even more shocking, or should be more shocking to us. If you think about it, every second that ticks by on the clock, two people die in this world. They step out of this world into eternity to face an almighty God, that their works be judged, whether good or evil. And so we see a man like this that has done this horrific thing and doused himself in gasoline and set himself on fire. But how much more sobering is it that every second on this earth, two people step into eternity, 153,000 some people every day, and one of these seconds will be yours. One of these seconds you will step into eternity and face God. So it's incumbent on you to think of that, to seriously consider what will happen to you when you die and stand before God. It should bring it a little closer to home. The Old Testament, the last book in the Old Testament, the second last chapter, Malachi chapter 3, reads, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And the book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name." Is your name written in the book of remembrance, in the God's book of life? Is your name written in there? "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him." Are you truly one of those that serves God? Are you one of those that God has made righteous? Or are you still by nature, as in you were born, wicked before God? Those who feared and esteemed his name. Because the scripture tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A man recently told me with great emotion that he fears God every day. And you know, this is a good start, because so many are living in their sin with no fear of him. And to fear God, to see that he is holy and just, and that he will give answer to him, and he's a judge of all the earth, is a good start. "For we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ." This is 2 Corinthians. "We must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or whether evil." We were reading in the book of Malachi, and we looked at the last chapter of the Old Testament. It's a really short chapter. This chapter is only 6 verses long. This is the last thing God said to his people of old time before Jesus came in the flesh. And there was hundreds of years of silence. "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. That day is coming that shall set them ablaze, said the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall go with healing in his wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I command him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. You note here he says, remember the law of my servant Moses. Well, why does he say that? These were godly Jews that knew the law. But if we look at the reason the law was given to you, is the law then contrary? This is the book of Galatians. Then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise of faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith can be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. The law was given to show you yourself in truth. God gave you His law, the Ten Commandments, so that you could see yourself as He sees you. Martin Luther, from the time of the Reformation, said the law was a mirror, a curb, and a guide. The law of the Lord is a mirror, so you can look in the mirror and see yourself, how filthy you are by nature before God. You can see the sin in your life instead of covering it up. The law, if we open it up, shows you yourself in truth. The law cannot clean you. Like we talked about yesterday, you wouldn't take a mirror that shows you the dirt on your face and rub the mirror on your face to try to clean yourself. No, the mirror cannot do that for you, but it can show you that you are dirty before God and in need of help. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, and the heavens pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. You see, the Lord tells us that He's appointed a day that He will judge the world in righteousness. God says that He will judge every man by what he's done on this earth, whether good or whether evil. And we open up the Word of God to Exodus chapter 19. Apparently hearing the gospel has upset one gentleman. For that I apologize, but consider, sir, are these words the words of truth? Exodus chapter 20 is what gives us the Ten Commandments. You shall not covet is one of the commandments. If you've jealously desired something that belongs to someone else, it's a sin against God. Sorry, ma'am, I can't hear you. You shall not bear false witness is the ninth commandment. And what does that mean? That it's not just talking about a court of law. That means you shall not lie. That lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. A false witness will not go unpunished. And he who breathes out lies will not escape. You know, often we think that a lie is no big deal. You know, if I told you a lie, many of you would think it was no big deal because you don't really know me. And you'd be mildly offended, but if you tell a lie, or if your spouse, your husband, or your wife told you a lie, then it would be a far bigger deal. You'd be more upset about that. But think of this: if you tell your country a lie in wartime, it's treason. It can be the death penalty for you. But what is the difference? See, and this is the big thing with God: it's not the offense that is different; it's He that's offended. But it says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire that burneth with sulfur. Okay? It's not that the lie is any bigger. It's he that's offended. It's a great offense to God when you tell a lie. You see, many of us like to cover our sin. And by nature, we want to sort of excuse our sin. And we even break the second commandment by making up a God in our own mind. And we often call him Jesus. But we make up a God in our own mind that's okay with our sin. Am I right, ma'am? Okay, but being called a liar, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. And who here cannot tell me with honesty that they've told at least one lie in their life? Or maybe how many lies have you told today? You shall not steal. If you've stolen something, frankly, you're a thief. And it doesn't need to be a big thing or even recently. But if you've stolen something one time in your life, you're a thief. The Word of God tells us in the second chapter of James, if you keep the whole law but offend in one point, you're guilty of all. So you're hanging by God's law, 10 commandments, a chain of 10 links. And if you break one of those links, you fall. God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You sin one time and you're deserving of eternal damnation in hell forever. We think that sounds drastic, but God demands perfection. God is a holy and righteous God, and he demands perfection. You shall not commit adultery. I don't know about here in the Bahamas, but I imagine it's quite similar. I heard a statistic from the big country next to us here in the United States that almost 50% of Americans admit to cheating on their spouse. From what I hear, it's probably quite similar here. But Jesus upped the standard. He said, Matthew chapter 5, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you're guilty of adultery in your heart. And if it's wrong for a man to look at a woman with lust, it's also wrong for a woman to look at a man the same way. Have you broken that commandment? You shall not murder. But if you hate your brother or call him a fool, Jesus says you're a murderer at heart. And this is important because the scriptures say that you're not just judged by the things that other people can see you do with your hands, but you're judged by the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Every idle word you speak, you will give account of on the day of judgment. All things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom you have to do. See, each one of us wants to look good in front of our fellow man, but you cannot hide from God. You cannot hide your sin from God. God knows everything you've done. And you will give answer before him of the deeds you've done in the flesh, whether good or evil. Honor your father or mother. Many of us, most of us, would say that we love our parents and that we've done our best to honor them, even though they've probably not been perfect parents and may have done some things that we wouldn't like. But you know, God gave those parents to rule over you, and you, as he gave them to you, you are to honor him as you honor God. And if you've not obeyed your parents, who here can say that they've obeyed their parents first time, every time? They've never talked back to their parents. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Have you taken one day out of seven? Taken one day out of seven, put it aside to honor and worship God. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who uses his name in vain. I hear this every day here as we walk the streets. Every day I hear people taking the Lord's name in vain. They say, oh my, and they put in the name of God. They use Jesus Christ as a cuss word. If I used your mother's name as a cuss word, you would be offended and you'd be very angry with me, and justly so. But God, who gave you life, his name is high and holy, and you use it with disrespect, God says he will not hold him blameless who does that. You shall not make for yourself a graven or carved image. We talked about that a minute ago. Idolatry, making up a statue to worship. But we also make up these images of God in our own mind. And that we worship that are okay with our sin. But that's idolatry too. If we make up our own idea of who God is, a God that's okay with your sin. And you shall have no other gods before me. Or you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now how many of you love yourself or love money more than you love God? See, this is God's law. God gave us His law so that we could see ourselves in truth. But He will judge you by the law. When you die, which you know not the day, how many of you know the day of your death? None of us know the day of our death. Any time our heart could stop beating and we could die. And then what? Well, the scriptures tell us that it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. You will be judged before God. But you know, this is a bit lengthy, but I'm going to read something to you. God is just, the judge of all the earth. He has no patience for sin. He said, I will by no means clear the guilty. But God is an incredibly merciful God. A good judge cannot let a guilty criminal go. You stand before a judge here in the Bahamas. You stand before the judge guilty of a crime. You cannot say to the judge, hey, I committed the crime, judge, would you let me go? If he let you go, he'd be a bad judge. What would you think of a man that murdered a loved one of yours, stood in front of the judge and said to the judge, oh, I'm sorry, would you let me go? If the judge let him go, we'd see a picture of you on the paper jumping up and down in front of the courthouse, complaining about this travesty of justice. Well, it's just the same. God is the judge, and He cannot let someone go just because they ask for forgiveness. But what God did is He sent His own Son to take your place. He lived a perfect life on this earth, deserving of no punishment, guilty of no crime. But He offered Himself as a sacrifice for sin. And this is what happened to Him. They took Jesus, and this is God Himself, your Creator, and He went out bearing His own cross to the place called the Place of a Skull, which is in Aramaic called Golgotha. And there they crucified Him, and with Him two others on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read his inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests and Jews said to Pilate, do not write King of the Jews, but rather, this man said, I am King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Here he is, Jesus Christ, King of creation of all the earth, offering himself as a sacrifice for your sin. Are you going to reject it and remain a rebel before God, or humble yourself before God and repent? When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, and also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. And this was to fulfill the scriptures which say, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Here is another fulfilled prophecy that proves that Jesus is the Messiah. So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother, the disciple whom he loved, standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his home. And after this, Jesus, knowing that it was all now finished, he said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." And a jar of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch, and they held it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head, and he gave up the spirit. And since it was the day of the preparation, that the body should not remain on the cross for the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was in a high day, Jesus asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other that had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear. And at once there come out blood and water. Jesus Christ here shed his blood as payment for your sin. God, his Father, it says, was pleased to bruise him and crush him. Poured out the wrath of God, the wrath of hell that you and I deserve, breaking God's law. He who saw it bore witness, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, not one of his bones may be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. Jesus Christ was pierced for your transgressions. The scriptures say, cursed is he that is hung on a tree. But he became accursed for you who broke God's law.
I know what you're saying is true, right? All these people are here, they know. I know what you're doing is good. I get it. He's a good man of God. But what I say is, these people are here, they're stubborn. My daddy tried us before, they're stubborn.
Yeah, well, I know most people will reject God, but it's our job to proclaim the gospel. And some will, and some will reject it. But that's not our job, right? Our job is to simply preach the truth. Yeah. Thank you.
We just read this scripture in the book of John, that God himself died for your sin. But you have a choice now. You are standing with the truth, the knowledge that you are a sinner before God. That God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sin. What are you going to do? Are you going to remain a rebel before God? Are you going to repent and be converted? Repent or you too will perish, Jesus said. These times of ignorance God has winked at, but now God commands all men everywhere to repent. A repent is a word that we don't use a lot in our modern language. Repentance before God is like going to God and saying, I'm guilty, I deserve to go to hell, I'm a criminal before your law, and if you sent me to hell right now, it would be just. And turning from your sin, turning away from those things that are evil before God, and trusting only in Jesus Christ, the blood that he shed for you, that you die to yourself, that you be willing to take up your cross and follow him. Or you can become a rebel, remain a rebel before God, and on the day of judgment he will say, "Away from me, you worker of iniquity, I have never known you." Now yesterday I was sitting around the Domino's table here and talking with some people, and a man asked me a question. He said, "Why do you love God?" And I give him an answer, but I don't think it's the most accurate answer. So I'm not sure if he's here listening to me today. That's right, the lady gave the right answer. 1 John 4:19, we love because God first loved us. You see, if I really think about it, the reason I love God is because God made me love him. But because by my nature, I'm a rebel before God. Oh, thank you, sir. By my nature, I'm a rebel before God. And I was born a hater of God. But God gave me life in my heart for which to repent and believe the gospel. Unless God gives you life, you will remain a rebel before him. All I can tell you is get on your face before God. If you've not been born again, get on your face before Him and say, oh God, give me a repentant heart. Give me that life within to believe the gospel. Because if not, you will be a dead man that's dead in your trespasses and sins until the day you stand before God in judgment. We have all heard in the Bible the story of a man named Lazarus. Lazarus was in a grave and he had a basic problem. We could call him all day long, Lazarus, come out here. But Lazarus was dead. And I don't know about you, but if you and I stood together and called Lazarus, we could call him for a week. He's not coming out of the grave. Lazarus is dead. But Jesus Christ called him. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And it wasn't just the words, but at the same moment, he sent life to Lazarus, that Lazarus could obey God because he had been sent life. You see, get on your face before God. Think of your sin. It is the kindness of God that should bring you to repentance, this book of Romans tells us. What a kind God that though you are born a rebel, as a son of Adam, the sin of Adam is imputed to you. A rebel before God. Are you going to remain a rebel? Get on your face and say, God, show me my sin and your kindness, and give me a repentant heart that I might turn from my sin and trust in you. Some of you listening to me are Christians. The book of Isaiah, the 52nd chapter says, awake, awake, put on strength. If you are a Christian listening to the sound of my voice, the people around you that are not born again are sinking into hell. Are you warning them? I'm standing here as a nobody that's simply telling everybody about somebody that can save anybody. But it's not just my job. If you are a Christian, awake, awake, put on strength. Get out of your comfortable spot and share the gospel with those around you. Because the book of Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, says, if the prophet knows that a man will perish in his sin and he warned him not, his blood will I require of your hand. But if you warn him and he die in his sin, you shall be innocent of his blood. And that's why in the book of Acts, Paul the Apostle said, I'm innocent of the blood of all men, because I cease not to declare the whole counsel of God, repentance towards God, and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Many years ago, there was a lady that died just 99 years ago named Julia Ward Howe. She wrote a very famous song that became famous in the United States at the time of the Civil War. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar on the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with glory and his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free while God is marching on. My hope and prayer for you is that you would repent, believe the gospel, and God would make you free of sin. That he would make you born again, that you would have new life for which to follow and please God. Many of you have a Bible at home. If you do not, I've got a Bible I can give you. Open up the Bible, read it. Am I telling you the words of truth? I tell you, I will not tell you a lie. This is such an important thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if I'm telling you the truth and the Word of God says, repent or you too will perish. get on your face before Him, cry out to Him in repentance, and believe in Jesus Christ, who shed His blood as payment for your sin, and in Him alone for your salvation. Thank you very much for listening to me. I've got some gospel tracts with me. Are you good enough to go to heaven? If you do not know for sure that you've been born again, or if you'd like to read a little more about what I'm telling you, come forward, swallow your pride, and get one of these tracts. If you need prayer, if you'd like to talk to me, I'll be around for a few minutes to talk to you. Thank you for your attention.